Thank you, Dr. Overly. Thank you to the session for this opportunity to stand before you and share what the Lord has done in our life and His leading and His guiding. First, I want to say a sincere thank you for all your prayers and how you have lavished love upon us. And so many of you have asked how the Lord is leading and how you can pray for us. And as Spurgeon said, the greatest kindness that you can ever do for anyone is pray for them. And so I thank you very much for your prayers. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity I have had these past, it's been almost a year that I've had the opportunity to spend time with our session and various meetings and with the committee and seeing Presbyterianism in shoe leather and seeing it lived out and functioning. And it's been a great blessing and an encouragement. And through all of my journey thus far, I've been in constant conversation with our pastor and with our elders regarding the Lord's leading and guiding. And I have consulted with our session on all the leading that I have sensed. And I'm very thankful to have their full support as to where the Lord has ultimately led our family. So many of you have asked about our recent trip that we have had, and I'm sorry that I've had to be so vague with so many different questions, but that's just the nature of things because we really didn't know what was going on. As you know, recently we had taken a trip to several of our churches in July and August, to three of our churches. And while we were leaving our church in New York, we traveled out across to Vermont, where we stayed in a prophet's chamber, a pastor friend of mine. And while we were there, we wanted to look for housing in the western part of Massachusetts, so it was about an hour north. We drove. We must have spent in four days, about 40 hours in the van, driving around, speaking to people on the street, going to bulletin boards, calling realtors, going online on Marketplace and Craigslist, trying to find housing. But most of the time, the cheapest housing that we could find for a house that would actually suit us was $3,000 or more. And so constantly, doors were shutting before us as we were in this area. And so we looked immediately north of us, north of the border into Vermont, around the Brattleboro, Vermont area, where we applied for two houses. And I was offered two jobs for driving school bus. And it just seems everywhere they need someone to drive a school bus. So they were willing to hire me, but we were unable to find housing. And so I put in two applications for housing in Vermont, in the Brattleboro area. And I found out on August 29th that what I thought one of the men that we spoke with was going to allow us to rent his property. And through conversation with him, it ultimately ended up being denied, as well as the other house that we were looking at was denied. And that was on August 29th, and I must admit I was very discouraged because I was here in South Carolina, miles and miles away from New England, trying to figure out how on earth can I find housing when I'm so far away and I can't actually see with my own eyes the places in which I would want to live. And so I began to ask the Lord, what was He doing? I was so confused and discouraged because I thought, this is the place, God, that you would have me to be. But every door that I thought God would open, He continually shut. And so on that 29th, it just so happened that it was a day that I had scheduled an oil change on my vehicle, and I was driving to the Firestone to have the oil change and some things done to our van. And I called the gentleman that used to attend our church in Maine, as I normally would always do, whenever I had the oil changed. And he informed me, whenever I called him, that just the Sunday before, that the church that we had started had closed its doors. I cannot get into the details, and it's not necessary for me to explain to you why that happened, other than to tell you that it did. And he asked me, he said, "Pastor, will you come back and help us?" That man offered me to stay at his house and offered our family to stay there. I then reached out to another man that had used to attend our church, and he said, as soon as I called him and he saw my number ring in, he said, "All I could think, Pastor, of was the Macedonian call." To me, it is not accidental that all doors have closed for us in Massachusetts, in Vermont. And what is utterly astounding to me is the fact that the very same day that these doors slammed on us in Massachusetts and Vermont, the Lord swung the door wide open for us to Maine. And for that matter, to an area and a people that I know, to an area and a people that I love, to an area and a people that I've wept over and prayed for and have shared the gospel with, an area that is still in great need of someone to tell them about Jesus, who is mighty to save. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would be able to return to this area. I had many people ask me, "John, are you going to go back to where you came from?" And I said, "No. For I feel that it was right for me to distance myself from the church in which we started and from the minister and not seek to interfere and cause any divisions and problems. But that obstacle has been removed in God's providence. In recent days, I've had numerous people from Maine, northern Maine, contact me asking me if I am returning. They have contacted my wife as well with very same questions. And congregation, if I can read the signs aright, it appears to me that the Lord, in reasons only known to Him, has shut the doors at this time to Massachusetts and Vermont area and have opened them to Maine. We still will be planting a church in New England. But it is in an area that we had not originally intended. Certainly God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He is His own interpreter, and He will make it plain. But this does not mean that in the future we cannot somehow be involved in doing something in Massachusetts or in the Vermont area. It may very well be that the timing is not yet right for us to be involved in such an undertaking. It could be that we as a church in Maine, once it would be established, could partner with a person going to this area and be involved in some fashion like that. My friends, I do not know how it all will fall out, but the Lord has a purpose in all of this, and it is for certain. And I can say with John Flavel this, and I quote, "Providence is wiser than you. You may be confident that it has suited all things better to your eternal good than you could do had you been left your own option. I know that whatsoever God does is good. And while I may not understand all that has happened, I can say that God has suited and orchestrated all this for my family's good and for His glory. So it is our plan, having, as I said, discussed this with our elders, for us to leave Greenville on October 3rd and head back to Maine. We'll be returning to Fort Kent, Maine, right on the Canadian border, to pick up essentially where we left off. And there are very many broken pieces, but we trust, with the Lord's help, to see a Free Presbyterian Church established there. In this area, it is known as Aroostook County, or if you're from Maine, it's simply called The County. It is located in the St. John Valley, this area we're going to. This county is the size of Connecticut and Rhode Island combined, but is very rural, with only 70,000 people dwelling in the county. The largest city is 9,000 people, the hub of Aroostook, Presque Isle, Maine. But the area in which we are returning to is a very strong French Roman Catholic area. It is very different than a lot of places in New England that I've spoken to you about before, because it is so close to Quebec and New Brunswick. But the people are very friendly. And if you ever have the opportunity to come up and visit us, once we get there, we many times have done door-to-door work in the past, and it's so different. You knock on someone's door, they have no idea who you are. All you hear is a voice hollering from the inside, "Come in." And it's a very different place. It's almost going back in time with how different the culture and society is. They are very friendly and kind, but as I said, they are blind. And they need the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine in unto them. So I ask you to please pray. Please pray that the Lord would establish a strong Reformed witness in this needy area. In Aroostook County, where we are going, there is not a single Reformed church in the entire county. And so I ask you to pray that the Lord would bless this endeavor. And I will be around immediately after the service, and I would love to answer any further questions you have, but I want to turn our attention to a passage of Scripture this evening, to Luke 7. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn there with me to Luke 7. Luke 7, and we'll read at verse 36 down to verse 38. Luke 7, beginning at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, did weep and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Amen. And we trust that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us unite our hearts together for a brief word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for your word. And we do ask it as we would meditate on a particular phrase this evening and trace it through the book of Luke, that you would minister to our hearts, that we that are downcast and downtrodden would find encouragement and help for our souls. I pray for that anointing and the help of the Holy Spirit to be enabled to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. So be with us, help us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We live in a world this day where so many things are begging and pleading for our attention. We have a job that is always there wanting our attention. We have errands that always have to be run. We have a family that has its own particular needs. We have a spouse with their own needs, children, grandchildren. There's shopping that has to be done. There's engagement with friends. There's recreations that we like to enjoy. There's time that we spend on social media, watching the news, and on and on and on and on we could go. And while many of these things are good and wholesome, they, however, occupy so much of our time, and sometimes too much of our time. And you may be asking yourself the question, well, preacher, where should I find myself the most, and what should I be occupying myself with most? I believe we find the answer to that question in our text in verse 38, and these three little words. I'm not trying to preach a Pastor Tomasian sermon this evening on three words, although that is what has happened. But I want you to focus in with me on these three little words as they are found in verse 38. And stood at his feet. At his feet. Christian, I submit to you that the place where we should spend the vast majority of our time is at the feet of Jesus. Oh, to be shut out from the world and to be shut in with Christ. To be at the feet of Christ is to recognize that He alone is worthy of all of our devotion. He alone is worthy of all of our worship. It is an acknowledgement when we come to the feet of Christ that we are coming to the one with all majesty and power. And this idea of being at the feet of Jesus is found four times in the book of Luke. And each time this phrase, at his feet, is found, I believe that it offers some instruction to us. And so we want to look just briefly this evening at the four references in the book of Luke where this phrase, at his feet, is found. We see it here in verse 38 that we have read, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash. And the word for wash there also carries the idea of terrain. That as she was there at the feet of the Savior, she was raining down her tears at the feet of Christ, kissing Him, wiping the feet of Christ with the hairs of her head. And the first thing I want you to see that we find at Jesus' feet is this. It is pardon. Pardon is found at the feet of Christ. It is in this passage that I have read that there comes a woman that is unclean, a woman that is of questionable character. This woman comes into the house of a Pharisee and casts herself at the feet of the Savior. And at the Savior's feet, she rains her tears down and kisses Him. This is a woman who comes in great humility to Christ. And when she leaves exalted to the highest heaven. Here comes a woman with all of her sin, with all of her shame, with all of her debauchery. But she is a woman that will leave the feet of Christ forgiven. But we read in verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. And here we find ourselves in a prayer meeting. And maybe you have come to this place marred by sin, marred by shame. I want you to know that there is forgiveness to be found this evening at the feet of the Savior. Come to the throne of grace boldly, and you will come in humility and cast yourself before Him. Come to the throne of grace with all your scars, all your wounds, all your shame, and rain your tears down at the feet of the Savior. And I promise you, in the authority of the Word of God, that there is a mercy and forgiveness that is found in that place, in the confession of your sin. Oh, you may say, but my sin is so great. The Lord certainly cannot forgive me. Preacher, you just don't understand what I have done. But friend, you need to understand that God's grace is far greater than any of your sin. For where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It has superabounded over your sin. Hear the words of the Puritan John Dodd. He said this, and I quote, "It is a great fault to think that any person has more of an abundance of sin than God has mercy to forgive it." So, saint, be encouraged that there is pardon to be found at the feet of Jesus. Not only is there pardon to be found at the feet of Jesus, but secondly, I want you to see with me that there is a rest that is found at the feet of Jesus. We find this in Luke 8 and verse 35. Luke 8 and verse 35. This is about the maniac of Gadara. And we read in verse 35 that then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. It is in this passage that we find a man that is tormented by a legion of devils. So tormented was this man that he ran naked through the graveyard day and night. This was a man that was bound by chains and fetters, and he broke them asunder. This was a man that was literally out of his mind. This was a man that was not at rest. He was tormented day and night. This evening you may have come to this meeting not necessarily devil-possessed, but you come here and like this man, you have no rest. You're tormented by many things. The sins of your past torment you. The bad decisions that you made in your youth or as an adult, they torment you. The things you wish you could have done with your children, but you never did, they lie there and they torment you. And we could go on and on and on about the torments of this life. But like this man, you can find a rest at the feet of Jesus. Jesus came to this man purposely. He came providentially, and He provided deliverance to this man. And I have good news to you this evening. Jesus is passing by. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is passing by, and Jesus can come to you in all of your torment, and he can give you rest. It was Christ that cast out the devils, and the man was clothed and in his right mind at Jesus' feet. And is this not where rest is to be found for the people of God? At Jesus' feet. So whatever torments you this day, you can cast it at the feet of the Savior. Because it is at Jesus' feet that you will find continual rest from the torments of life. And so desirous is Christ for you to have this rest, that he invites you to come to him that you may have it. Jesus says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So you don't have to live a life without rest. Jesus urges you to come to him for rest. You can have it, for Jesus has promised it. Come to me and I will give you rest. It is there for the asking. So I encourage you to avail yourself to such a gift. So at Jesus' feet we have found that there is pardon. There is rest. Thirdly, I want you to consider with me that at the feet of Jesus we learn that there is instruction. If you turn with me to Luke 10, in verse 39, in a familiar passage regarding Mary and Martha, you read in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She sat at his feet, and she heard his word. So in this well-known passage, as I said, we find Mary and Martha. Martha was a woman that was cumbered about much serving. But Mary is found at the feet of Jesus. And what is Mary doing here at the feet of Jesus? She is hearing his word. She's being instructed by the Master. So while Martha is busy in the kitchen, Mary desired to sit and to rest and to learn the word from the Master. And is this not where we need to find ourselves this evening? This is actually where you find yourself this evening, under the instruction of the word of God. But unfortunately, many times we find ourselves to be like Martha, so busy in life. And I listed some of those things in our introduction that we do not even take time to sit at the feet of the Savior. It is at the feet of Christ that we receive this instruction. And this instruction that we receive from Christ is not just some audible voice that speaks to us in our quiet place. God does not speak in an audible voice to his people this day. But rather, it's Christ speaking to us through his word. As we have been going through the book of Hebrews with our pastor, we have seen in Hebrews 1:2 that in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. God speaks to us through Christ, through his word. So do you want to know God's will for your life and how you are to live? It's found in a book. You can receive instruction from Christ at his feet. Do you want to know more about God? You'll find it through the instruction of Christ in his word. So will you not take time each day to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from the Master? Will you not avail yourself to the means of grace and put yourself under the regular preaching of the Word of God at Jesus' feet? For when you do this, you are in the best position at the feet of Christ. There's one last thing I want to share with you just briefly before we go to the Lord in prayer. So we learn at Jesus' feet that there is pardon. There is a rest. We learn that there is instruction. But last of all, we learn that there is thanksgiving. Turn with me to Luke 17. In Luke 17, we find this last reference to Jesus' feet. In Luke 17 and verse 16, this is regarding the 10 lepers that were healed, and one returns. We'll read verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." And as Jesus passes by, these 10 lepers cry out for mercy. And as they go their way to the priest, they are healed. But it is only one out of the 10 that returns to Christ with gratitude for what has happened. Where were the other 9? Did they simply just go home and show their family and friends that they were healed? Did they take this healing for granted? Why all the ingratitude? But this one man, who was going to die a horrible death, was healed, and he returns to give thanks to the one who made him whole. My dear friend, do you find yourself at the feet of Christ with thanksgiving, like this man, for all that the Lord has done? Or do you come finding yourself grumbling at the feet of Christ? You and I once were like that leper. We were dying. We were bound by sin and dead in sin. We were the walking dead. And we could do nothing to remedy our situation. But praise be unto God, there was a day when Jesus passed by and saw us while we were wallowing in our blood. And he said to us, "Live," and we come to life by the power of his word. You must understand that you could do nothing to remedy your situation, but it was simply God's sovereign grace that made it happen. He brought spiritual healing to you. He translated you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. And if this was all God had ever done for you and for me, it would be enough to praise him for an eternity of eternities, for saving a wretch like me and like you. But has he not done much more than this? Oh, he has done so much more. He has given you a family. He's given you a spouse. He's given you children and grandchildren. He's given you a job. He's given you a church. He's given you Christian friends. He's given you a purpose and a calling. And if you were to count all the blessings, name them one by one. Remember, as a little kid, we used to change the song. And the song leader said, "We're not going to sing, count your blessings, name them one by one." He said, "Let's change the words and say, count your blessings and name them ton by ton." The Lord has done so much for us. We have so much to be thankful for. Why not throw yourself at the feet of the Savior this evening and thank Him for His bountiful blessings. He is worthy, and He is deserving. So as we come to pray, you might not be able to physically throw yourself on the ground at the feet of Jesus and lie prostrate before Him this evening, but might you in spirit find yourself there. And even as we come to this place of prayer, understand that prayer is a means of grace to His people and something that you should avail yourself to. And while the world is constantly plunging into chaos, there is a place of respite for the saint of God, and it is at Jesus' feet. He calls you today to come to Him, shut out the world, be shut in unto Him. It's at Jesus' feet that we should long to dwell and never leave. There is nowhere else for the child of God than at the feet of Jesus. May that be where we long to be, at Jesus' feet. Amen.